Well, good morning. I just want to give you guys an update before I start because my message has nothing to do necessarily with church planting. I think it does, though, once you do experience God and have that pleasure of being in his presence, you will want to plant a church, or you will want to go on the mission field, or you will want to talk to your neighbor about him because he is amazing. He is good. He sends our sins away from us. He sets us right for eternity. Anybody say amen to that? And so we are in a church planting adventure in Marshfield. And so we have about 16 people that are covenanted right now. And we are meeting as a launch team. So if you were a part of a launch team, can you raise your, I don't like to embarrass people, but I feel like if you're a part of a launch team, you don't care. So that's how it works. So if you're a part of the launch team of New Day, just raise your hand. That's awesome. Thank you for raising your hand. It's cool. So we have 16 people helping us launch this brand new church, which our church is, our vision is to bring life to Hub City, which is Marshfield's nickname, Wood County, and to the ends of the earth. And so we are, it's based on John 10:10. Jesus said, I came to bring life, and life what? Does anybody know? More abundantly. Thank you. You're awesome. You were in the word this week, weren't you? Awesome. So that's what we're doing. And so we are reaching out to the nuns, not the Catholic nuns. But we are reaching out to those who say, we don't have any belief, we don't have any faith, we don't believe in this God that you believe in, but we are here to show you who he is through acts of service, through loving you, through being a body of Christ that is alive and real. And so that's what we're doing. And so that's the update on that right now. I just wanted you to know, because last time I came, I didn't talk about financial stuff, and somebody said, why didn't you tell us where you're at financially? And I said, I just didn't want to. And they said, you need to tell people where you're at. So we're at 83% of our support right now. So you have 17% to go. And so if God lays it on your heart to help us in that mission, please talk to me and let me know. And if not, I love you, just so you know. So let's get into this morning. The title today of this message is God Time is Greater Than Me Time. A long time ago, I saw this video of a guy that was an amazing juggler. And he took these like plates and he had like seven sticks. Have you guys seen this? Seven sticks, and he had sticks on his feet and sticks on his knees and sticks on his shoulders and sticks on his head. How many of you guys feel like that in your life? You're trying to spin all these plates that you have going on. Like, I got to take care of my kids, keep that one spinning. And then I got to take care of my family, I got to keep that one spinning. I got to take care of my wife, keep that one spinning. I got to be in church, keep that one spinning. You know, I got to be on the mission field, keep that one spinning. I got to do well in my track meet, keep that one spinning. And all of a sudden, our life is constantly trying to spin these plates. And we don't know how we're going to keep spinning them, because how do I do this one and this one and this one at the same time and this one and this one? And I'm here to tell you that the plates will keep spinning if you spend time with God. The plates on your life, the things that you have to do, the things that are going on, they will continue to spin, and they will continue to spin well when you're spending time with God. And so I think sometimes we feel like we got to, the American way, pull yourselves by your bootstraps. I got to figure this out on my own. I got to have my own me time instead of God time, which me time is good, right? Getting out, get your lawn chair out, sit in the sun. Maybe not a lawn chair right now, right? That would be cold. But those me times, those times that you spend with yourself are really important to evaluate your life and what you're doing and why you're living. But if you don't spend those times with God, you're just spinning your own plates. And you're trying to do that on your own. And God says, I want to help you with that. And I actually want you to actually live a joyful and happy life. And so I've come to help you with that. And so, so I just have four people this morning who are trying to walk with God. Now, this isn't something that I read in a book necessarily or something that I got from another preacher. It's just stuff as I have been pastoring, as I have been leading people, this is what I've noticed in people's lives. This is where I've noticed they're either at or they have been, and then I'm going to help you to figure out how to get out of that area of your life this morning. So are you ready to go on this jaunt with me this morning, this adventure? All right, I hope you are. So the first person is a lost person. All right. Now, this is not necessarily somebody that's not even in church. This is just someone that's the Bible would call lost. And
what Jesus talks about lost people, he says people who need to know him, people that need to have a personal relationship with him. And so a lost person is described in Romans chapter 7, if you have Romans chapter 8, sorry, verses 7 through 8. It says this, the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Can you say unable? That's important. Remember unable when you're thinking of lost people. I think sometimes at a church we think of people are lost. We think, I just don't believe. Forget about them. They're just going to go the other way anyway. So let's forget about them as a church. Let's realize that they are unable. They are hostile to God, and they are unable to believe. They are unable because their spirit lies dormant. And we're going to talk about that in the scripture. It says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. All right, that's a lot of scripture, but here's what it means. Think of a car battery, all right? Think of maybe going to your local CarQuest. I say CarQuest because I delivered car parts for them at one point, so I like CarQuest. If you don't, that's okay. So think of a car battery sitting on the shelf, and it's just waiting there. It's just waiting there for somebody to what? To do what? To purchase the car battery, right? Once that car battery is purchased, then you can put it into the car, hook it up to the, some of you are really smart, and I'm not. So I just think in this way, in car way. So you hook it up to the what? The voltage, the electricity, so that it can actually do what it's made to do. So like a car battery, we're like that. We lie dormant. We're ready to serve God. We're ready to believe in him. We're ready to trust in him. But we're unable until what? Until Jesus comes, grabs us, and brings us into his kingdom. Until Jesus comes to us as that dormant battery, that place that's ready to be charged up, comes to us, walks toward us. How does he walk toward us? He died on the cross. Because of his death and his resurrection, now he can walk toward us and he can bring us into his heavenly relationship, into this kingdom relationship inside the Trinity with the Father, with himself. And now he puts his Holy Spirit in us, which now connects us to God. And so we as maybe a battery ready to be, now we can be used. We can be in that relationship. We can know what it's like to walk with God. That is what lost people are waiting for in our world. Amen? Do you guys believe that? Like they are like a battery sitting there waiting for somebody to come to us and bring us to the place where I can actually know who Jesus is and what this kingdom is all about. Because they're just sitting there. They don't know. They sit there Sunday after Sunday, and I'm not against the Packers by any means. I watched them all my life. But they sit there and cheer for number 12, and they give him all the glory and praise. But you know what? They're waiting to give glory and praise to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who sits on the throne this morning. So lost people need to know, and their spirit lies dormant until the power comes in. In 2 Timothy, it says this, and I'm going to read this verse. This is kind of like the times that we're living in. If you haven't heard this before, brace yourself because it's going to be rough. I'm just telling you, like this scripture. But if we can't take rough stuff from the scripture, rough stuff from the Bible helps us to grow, helps us to take a step in the right direction. And so here's in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But know this, hard times will come in the last days, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people. And see, in our life, We can talk the talk and we can say, I'm a Christian and I'm a believer and I love God, but we can deny its power in the same sentence. And how do we do that? How do we deny God's power in our life? And we deny God's power in how we're living. Our self-sufficiency, I don't really need God today because I have enough money in the bank and I have three cars and I have everything I need. I don't really need God. In America, this is a troublesome area for us because we sometimes are self-sufficient, aren't we? If you guys, I know you see this in our world today. I know we see this in our families. The family is eroding. And I know we see these things that are in this verse. But if we would tap into the power of God, if we would just say, hey, I'm a battery right here. I'm ready to be charged up. I am ready to be used for your kingdom. I am ready to be used for your glory. Here I am. Send me. Send me to Africa. Send me to Kenya. Send me to Marshfield. Who wants to go to Marshfield? And the Lord wants to do that with lost people. People that are lost right now are going to be the same people that are doing missions in Kenya tomorrow. I believe it. I believe that God is calling people out of their lostness into being found. The second type of person is a stuck person. A stuck person. I was watching this video on quicksand last night, and it was pretty cool. And the quicksand is pretty crazy because if you don't know about quicksand, you probably do. But if you get into quicksand and you keep moving your legs, what happens? You keep sinking. And so in the midst of quicksand, you have to like put all of your weight onto something. And one of the values of Hub Life Church is lean. And the reason why it's lean is because it gives you a picture of what we're supposed to do in our relationship with God, because we're not supposed to be just standing straight all the time. We're supposed to be leaning on Him, right? We're supposed to lean. I'm not going to lean too far because I might fall because of my leg. But you're supposed to lean upon God in all situations, in all areas of our life. And so what happens when you get stuck in quicksand, if you lean forward and start to try to get your legs out and you push, when you're leaning, all of your weight helps bring your body back out of this quicksand. Quicksand can definitely kill you. I think sometimes when we get stuck as believers, as Christians, as somebody that says, I love Jesus and I'm following Him, it can be the same thing for you. And so this verse from 2 Corinthians 10:4, just wanted to share. This will help you to see this in the scripture. It says, since the weapons of warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. Don't you love demolition? Like, man, that's such a cool word. Like, I just want, like when you think of demolition, you think of stuff breaking and buildings collapsing and cars smashing. And demolition's cool. And it says, we demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey who? To obey Christ. That's right. And so when we're stuck, what happens? I think when you get stuck, doubt creeps in. Doubt is not the enemy of God. I don't believe that doubt is a bad thing, actually. I think what we do with doubt can be either good or bad. What I mean by that is doubt helps us to answer the questions that are deep down in our soul. Like, there are things that you have questions about. And sometimes you ask people and they just go, well, just believe what the Bible says. And you're like, I don't. You know, like, I don't. And I can't. I'm unable to. Like, stop telling me just to believe what this says, you know. And help me to believe it. Help me to read it. Help me to understand it. See, a stuck person either stays stuck or they get out. Or they get out and they walk in freedom. And they walk in the goodness of God. And so in our life, these two things that this verse actually is talking about, demolishing arguments and every proud thing, the arguments. What are the arguments against God that you hear in the culture all the time? Do you just like, who cares? Like, it's fine. It'll all work out. It's okay. Like, let them say what they want to say. Let them do what they want to do. Or are you thinking through these? And sometimes when we think about this stuff, we go, that's a really good argument. Like, as a pastor, people ask me questions sometimes, and I go, I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know. I will try to find out, but I don't know always. I don't always have the answer. I'm not Bible answer man. You know, like, that's what some people think I am. Like, you're a Bible answer man, aren't you? And I'm like, no, I'm a pastor. That's different. I will try to find answers for you. But there are many arguments against God. And how do you come against those? You got to be in the Word. You got to talk to people about these things. Don't just chew on them yourself. That's why we have small groups, right? Small groups are a good place to come up with really good questions and ask them and find out what other people are thinking and believing. The other part of this is it demolishes every proud thing. There are prideful things that try to stand up to God. You know what? They're going nowhere. Because God is all powerful. He's all knowing. There's nothing that can stand up to God. You know, it's funny. One of these words in here actually means the word reason. Chew on that for a minute. One of these words in the Bible says it actually demolishes reason. And we live in a world where we're like, just reason it out. Just reason this out. Just think through it. You can figure this out on your own. What happens when you can't figure it out on your own? What happens when you're stuck and you can't figure it out on your own? You call for help. That's right. Amen. You call to heaven. You call to Jesus. You call to the Word of God. You call to your brother or sister in Christ to help you. Like, I'm sinking right now. Help. And when you're stuck does not have to be a permanent spot. It could be just be your spot for right now. But if you deal with the doubts in your life, you will become stronger in Christ. Doubts are put in your life so that you would become strong in Christ. Remember that. They're not placed in you so that you go, oh, I don't really love Jesus. No. They're there so you would strengthen your own faith. The Bible talks about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means you got to work at it. That's why Christianity is hard work. It's a constant study of God's word. It's a study of who he is. It's walking with him every day. It's demolishing things in your life. It's awesome. Like, if you can demolish stuff, isn't that cool? Even kids get excited, like, let's demolish something. Yeah. You know, like, who doesn't love to demolish stuff? So when you're stuck, just remember that you can get out. And it's the very presence of God that will help you to get out. So the third person, so we have the lost person, we got the stuck person, and then we have the distracted person. Distractions come into our life. Distractions can be good, can be bad, right? They don't have to necessarily be really like the worst sin in the world. Like, they don't have to be like that, but they can be. They also can just be really good stuff. Like, sometimes too much, I don't know how to say this, too much religion can be a distraction from Jesus. Like, too much pursuing faith without him can be a distraction from him. Too much Bible reading can be a distraction from him. Jesus talked about it. He says, you search the scriptures. You search these for life. And you don't find life because you don't realize it's in me. You don't realize that I came to give life and life abundantly. You don't realize that all of heaven and earth hinges upon what I did on the cross. And he says that in the Word. And so so distractions can keep us away. There's a story in Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. I'm not going to read the exact verses, but you guys have heard this maybe before. If you haven't, it's okay. But it's this two girls named Mary and Martha and their sisters. And Jesus comes over and he's like, hey, let's get the hot dogs out and, you know, let's hang out together. And like you guys do, you know, he just hang out with people normal. Like, let's go, let's put the TV on, let's, you know, whatever. They didn't have TV back then. But that's what it would be like. They'd just be like, hey, come on over. And so Martha in the story is like, hey, we got to make sure these corn dogs are cooked up right. We got to make sure, like, the soup's ready. We got to, you know, whatever you guys eat, cheese curds, you know. Yeah, make sure they're all ready for Jesus. He's coming to hang out with us, and we got to take care of him. And so the Bible says that she's been distracted by many things. She's distracted probably by how her house looks. You know, when you have guests, you're like, dude, I see a dust bunny. Get over there and take care of that. You know, like, get over there, take care of that thing. And And so she's distracted by many things. And Jesus says this really awesome thing in this. And Mary's sitting at his feet. Mary's just taking in Jesus, smelling his feet, right? I'm just kidding. And listening to his words, not smelling his feet. And she's listening to him, and she's taking in what he has to say. And all the while, Martha's just distracted, like, I got to make sure this is good. And, oh, my gosh, there's a stain on the carpet, you know? Like, and so, and she says to Jesus, she goes, why don't you tell her to help me? Does anybody do that at your house? Why don't you tell her to help me? I'm tired. And Mary's just sitting in Jesus' presence, talking to him, listening to him. And Jesus says, you know what? All this stuff really doesn't matter. Actually, these are good things. But there's only one thing that is necessary. And what Mary's doing right now is the necessary thing in her life. And see, I think we get distracted by so many things. I get distracted. Do you know how many shows there are on Netflix, for crying out loud? Like, how many shows can we watch in a lifetime? Like, I get distracted from the kingdom. And, man, I love what Psalm 84:10 says. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And so I read that verse and I say, better is one day in your presence than 1,000 on an island in Hawaii. Better is one day than the greatest craft beer that I can drink in Wisconsin. Like, greater is one day in your presence than 1,000 days at Chipotle. And if you guys knew how much I like Chipotle, that's a stretch for me. Because your pastor and I go to Chipotle every time we go on a trip because they don't have it around here. Where are we going to lunch? Oh, I wonder. Like, that's a no-brainer. Like, that's a distraction right there. But what is so satisfying about this time in God's presence? I'm going to give you three things, and I really wish you'd write these down because I think these are important to knowing God's presence. When you're distracted, these are things that you have to remember. Number one, there's the unknown. I think too long in the Christian faith, we have been at this place where in God's presence, it's just whatever it is. It's normal. It's just what I do. It's just like, oh, whatever. Like, it's boring. I read my Bible. It's boring. Like, it's worship. Well, I was okay. You know, like, it's okay today. Oh, you know, I don't know. There has to be an unknown aspect. When you go to God and you want to really know him, you don't know him. You don't know him. Like, you need to know him. Can I just tell you that right now? I don't know him the way that I need to know him. But that's the motivation for being in his presence. Like, I don't know him like I need to know him. Why do I come to church? I need to know him better. I need to serve him. I need to love him. I need to know him. My whole being cries out for this living king. And I need to know him more than I do today. Amen. And the unknown draws me in. And it keeps me coming because I know that there is more and more to have of God. It's not salvation. I think we've been duped in church when we're told, like, oh, baptism is the main. What? Baptism is a step in obedience. Every day, talking to God, living in the Spirit of God. That's where it's at. And so this is the unknown. The second one I want to say, what is so satisfying about time in God's presence is more love to know and receive. There is more love in God than in anything else in your life. There is more love in God than your spouse. There is more love in God than your favorite movie. There is more love in God than the greatest music that's ever been created. And I love music. Ask Aaron on our road trips. We love listening to music together. But there is more love to be known and more love to be received. We don't have to walk around wondering. We don't have to walk around with a hole in our heart anymore. You don't have to walk around with a space that's not being filled. You don't have to walk around wondering if I'm ever going to be complete or whole in your life. Do you know why? Because it's not the person on single.com. It's not the person that you meet at the local coffee shop. It's not the person that's sitting across from you in church right now. You are not going to be whole and complete and receive that love that you're longing for until you know Jesus. And I'm not just saying this stuff because I'm a pastor. I know this, and I believe it, and I live it. Third one is The third one is it's like a cliffhanger. It's kind of like the unknown, but it's a little different. It's mysterious. It's when you're watching your favorite show, and we were just watching a show called The 100, and it came to the end of like season 3, and I'm like, I think I'm done with this show. And then all of a sudden, something happens at the end, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I need to keep watching that, you know. But that's the cliffhanger, What's God going to do next in my life? Well, who is God going to lead me to next? Some of you that are really strong in your faith, who's God going to lead me to next to live out this faith? Where is God going to take me? Where is God going to ask me to spend my money? Oop, did I just talk about money? Where's God going to ask me to spend my money? It's mysterious. It's awesome, isn't it, though? Like, we're not meant just to sit here on Sunday. We're meant to walk by faith Monday, every day that has a why at the end of it. Every day that has and at the end has a why. So those are the satisfying time in God's presence. We gather into this space to dive into the mystery. You know what? I need you guys to help me to dive into the mystery of who God is. You know, you helped me to do that this morning by worshiping. Some of you helped me to do that by just showing me the love of Jesus through your smile today. See, we are meant to discover this together. So what things of the world are keeping you from God today? Well, if you're distracted, what is it? And what are you going to do to get out? What are you going to do to keep your eyes off of those things and keep them focused, centered on Christ? The fourth person is the embrace person. So we'll just finish with this one really quick. In John 3:8, Jesus talks about the wind blows where it may, and nobody knows, but the Spirit knows where it's going. So I talk about embrace person. I talk about the person that's loved. You know you're loved by God. You know that He is in you. You know that you're walking by faith. You know that you're doing what He's called you to do in your life. You know you're saying you're demolishing the strongholds. You're demolishing the stuff. You're punching them like Wreck-It Ralph, and you're knocking them out. But the person that is, when you're that embraced, you're like John 3:8, and you walk around like this, and you walk into places, and it's like this. Whoosh. People look like, hey. Whoosh. You know what it's like when you're around somebody that's filled with the Spirit? Whoosh. Like, what just happened? Like, where did that come from? And that if you're like that, people notice that in your life. So my challenge to you is if you're walking that way, if you're walking by the Spirit, I challenge you to find someone that is lost. I challenge you to find someone who is lost because they want to know. Amen? I challenge you to find someone that's stuck. Help them to get out of that quicksand of doubt. Help them to get out of those things. Or find somebody that's distracted. Find someone that's distracted. If you're distracted, if you're stuck, find someone that you can trust and you can find somebody in your life that you can say, hey, I'm just stuck right now. Can you help me? Like, just be honest. We all get stuck sometimes, don't we? We all get distracted from God. That just happens. But we all want to live in that embraced position where we're walking around and whoosh, whoosh. People look like, wow, the wind's blowing in here and the door's shut. You know, like, whoosh. And then you're speaking into people's lives and you're speaking things. I was on a Revive ministry and I was sitting there. I was with a team of like four. And you guys know how this goes. If you haven't been able to Revive, you don't know. But if you have, you know how this goes. You're out. And I'm a pastor and I'm like, I'm supposed to be saying something, I think. But everybody else is praying for people. So I'm just like, I'm just sitting in the background, figure out what I'm supposed to be doing here. And so the Lord goes, why don't you just grab that lady's hand? Like, I felt like the Spirit of God was telling me, and I'm like, okay, grab her hand. So I reach out, or actually I asked her first. You have to ask for permission, right? You don't just grab people like, hey, you know, like, Jesus loves you, you know. I asked her permission, and I grabbed her hand, and I just said, I think sometimes you believe you have cancer because God doesn't love you, or He gave you this because you deserve this for some reason. I'm here to tell you that He loves you. You did not deserve this. This is for His glory. He is doing something in your life through the struggle and the pain that you have going on. he is doing this so you would be an embraced believer and be one who is walking in his love and in his spirit. And so when I said that, she just started to tear up. And I was like, wow, that was cool. You know, it was like, whoosh. But that's what happens. And it's not, I mean, I know people look at me and they just go, wow, Casey's amazing. Like, how does he do that stuff? And I just go, I don't know. Like, I just live with God and I walk in this relationship. And I know anybody can do this. It's been 20 years for me. It didn't start out this way, by the way. And it's been a struggle. And I was stuck and I was distracted and I was through a lot of things. And so I just want to encourage you. So if you know a lost person, if you're lost here this morning, you're a battery ready. You're a battery ready to be grabbed by Jesus and brought into the kingdom. And all you have to do is confess where you are. Like say, hey, I'm just dead. And until you confess that you're dead spiritually, you cannot be brought to life. That's how it works. Say, I'm dead. I am dead where I'm at right now. I just want you to bring me to life. I can't bring myself. It says in the word, I'm unable to. How am I going to do this, Jesus, unless you take me and bring me to life? Hook me up to the cables. Hook me up to life because I'm dying and I need to be brought to life. I need to know what this life is all about. That's like a song or something, right? The last part I just want to share and then we'll pray, but this is just a simple, I want to give you a how to do this. This is just a simple way that I do this at home real quick. I take my laptop and do you guys all know what YouTube is? I use YouTube for the glory of God. but I take my laptop, I put it on my lap, and then I take my Bible, I take a notebook, and I just start. And this is how I do my quiet time with God. I just write out where I'm at exactly. Like I go, God, this is where I'm at right now. This is how I feel. This is what's going on in my life. And then I will take, and then I'll start just listening to songs that I have heard in church or that I've been walking with Christ for 20 years. So a lot of songs are in my head, just so you know. And I just start listening to stuff. And then I start writing things down as I listen. And in those moments, it could be 15 minutes. It could be a half hour. It could be an hour. It could be 2 hours. Whatever it takes, the main thing is that you get to that embrace place where you know I am at peace with God. I am at peace with myself. I am at peace with my spouse. I am at peace with the people around me. I am at peace with the world that I live in because I am at peace with Jesus Christ. That is the place that you need to get to in your quiet time. It's not a religious thing. It's not just a thing to do because the pastor told me to do it. It's to be embraced, and it's to be in that relationship with God. And so if you take that time and just write out, and then in those times I just commit. I'm like, I'm committing to my marriage again for crying out loud. Like, I suck at it. You know, sometimes they're like, I commit to it. And then I commit to the pastor in the ministry that I have. I commit to my kids to raise them up in the Lord. I commit to these things. And it's just in that time. And then when you do that, it's like this free, you just feel free. You feel like you feel light. You feel like you walk on the clouds again. But we need this every day, don't we? Because the world around us is crumbling and dying. And it's hard. And it's emotional. And it's painful. But we need this time because it's greater than any me time that you will ever spend. Let's pray together. God, I ask one thing this morning. I ask for the lost person to be found. I ask for the stuck person to get out. I ask for the distracted person to get focused. And I ask for those who are embraced to stand up and bring your kingdom to somebody this week. And I pray that they would be embraced in their time with you. I pray that you would fill their time with your presence. I pray that you would just speak into the lives in ways that they have not been spoken into. And I pray these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.